football to talk about from this weekend. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports, of course, on a Mike Grimm Monday. And Mike, a good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's get right to it. The Gophers and Purdue on Saturday, homecoming game for our Minnesota Gophers. And I want to start the conversation talking about Purdue, because you mentioned this on our conversation last week, and maybe there wasn't enough credit given to Purdue. Now, they came in with a 2-2 record, but they had a couple of close losses. This was a pretty good Purdue team. We're going to talk about, I think we're disappointed that the Gophers did not win on Saturday, but we must stress that this is not a bad Purdue team that came in and beat the Gophers on Saturday.
No doubt. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it doesn't mean that the Gophers couldn't have won or shouldn't have won. They were a favorite for a reason. So all of that is still true. But, it is interesting because you have to understand how the Big Ten works. And, you roll through four opponents, it doesn't just mean that, you're going to keep rolling. This Purdue team was two plays away from being 4-0 and ranked, and this would have been a game that would have had much more national talkability, so to speak, heading into it, had Purdue won those two games. They didn't, but they were the Penn State game especially. You go back and watch that; they absolutely should have beaten Penn State in that opener. I mean, they were ahead, and they just were aggressive and didn't melt clock like they should have. And I give Jeff Brohm, the Purdue coach, credit because he 100% adjusted to the game Saturday in a much better manner than he has in the past. I think maybe he's grown a little bit. I mean, I think, we all know he can coach. They've had some big upsets there. They won 9 games last year. But there was this aggressive nature to his coaching. I remember back in 2020, if he just hands the ball off to their running back, Xander Horvath, if he just hands the ball off to him 25 times in that game, they probably beat Minnesota, but they insisted on trying to throw the football. And Minnesota ends up, escaping that game in a win, that COVID year win in 2020. And even in that Penn State game, he committed to the running game. And that was something that was interesting because the Gophers have not had to really face a team yet and try to stop the run, right? They have been out front, so teams have had to throw the ball, and that's because they've become one-dimensional. And quite frankly, that's a little area of concern, I think, for Minnesota, because Purdue ran the ball pretty efficiently. They did pop a long one late to basically seal the game. That was that had not happened yet. And he ran what I would call the traditional four-minute offense when he got the lead, And so, that's a long answer. Yes, Purdue's a good team. Quite frankly, they may be now the favorite in the West after that win. That's a big win for them, and that's what makes it disappointing for Minnesota, because if the Gophers won that game Saturday and it was imminently winnable, they're in total control of the West. But as it stands now, this is like a four-team race, and you're going to have to play some winning football, obviously.
Purdue wins 20-10 on Saturday. No Mo Ibrahim. He did not play yesterday. On Saturday, the running attack was held for under 50 yards. I'm assuming Purdue must have won the battle up front, because we know that we can run the football even without Mo Ibrahim. Bryce Williams and Trey Potts, both very good running backs. Purdue must have been controlling the line of scrimmage.
They did, and that's probably the other area of concern, is that that was the first time that that's happened. And I'd say particularly the right side of the offensive line just had a little bit of a struggling day for the Gophers. And for whatever reason, Trey Potts just didn't look that comfortable, and we haven't seen that before. He was tentative getting to the line of scrimmage, didn't really hit the hole that hard. Very first play of the game, he lost 5 yards on a simple, handoff. He just ran sideways. And so it just, nothing was working, it was one of those days, and yet the Gophers still were right there to try to win it. And they, made way too many miscues and some uncharacteristic things. A week after, their receivers had just this awesome game in the absence of Chris Ottman-Bell, where they caught everything thrown to them. They had some costly drops, including one that would have been a touchdown. And, the weird thing with that, and in a tight game, everything matters. If, the ball goes through Michael Brown-Stevens' hands and bounces off his shoulder pads, if it just bounces out of the end zone incomplete, the Gophers have a field goal, and you get 3 points. And who knows how that changes the game. Minnesota also missed a 28-yard field goal in that game, and who knows if you make that, how that changes strategy and everything. But instead of it just going harmlessly flying out of the end zone off the shoulder pad, it bounced straight up, and the defensive back just landed right in his lap. It's an interception, no points at all. And so, you know, late hit that extended a drive that should have been a three and out. They end up scoring on that drive if you don't have the late hit, and it was a blatant late hit, and that's something I can't remember the last late hit the Gophers have had. And so they made some uncharacteristic mistakes, and the running attack not being there certainly played a role in that, and that's got to be something that they've got to they got to be better at that. Certainly Ibrahim would have made a difference, but how much of a difference, who knows.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday here on KATE. Again, the Gophers get beat by Purdue 20-10 on Saturday. Gophers have a bye week, and Mike, that's kind of too bad, because I would think after a disappointing homecoming loss to Purdue, you'd want to get that bad taste out of your mouth immediately. Now the Gophers have some extra time to think about it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the good news is, I suppose, you got Ibrahim an extra week of rest and recuperation with that ankle. I was surprised he didn't play, given that, basically most of the week we were told that he was practicing. So something must have come up, or he just wasn't quite there. So you got that part of it. And then you're right. Other than that, in terms of the benefit, you just got to sit there and stew over a loss that, you wanted to win that game. And like I said, the most disappointing aspect is that the uncharacteristic stuff happening, and then two, if you win that game, it's almost like a two-game lead, because you have the head-to-head against Purdue, you're the only team undefeated in the West, but as it stands, you're in with a bunch of teams, and now Minnesota does not control its own destiny as of right now. They would need help, and there's a lot of season, and that's going to change, and I also think the mentality part of it's going to change too. Having a bye week now, it's fine. And Fleck talks about this all the time. There's no bad time for a bye week. It's always a welcome time. And it kind of falls in line. It's a little shy of halfway through the season, five games in, seven left. So if they had, the bye week after next week, it would have been exactly halfway. So it's fine, and we'll see where it goes. But the mentality part, I think, is another part. I think you and I talked about it last week. The shift went from most of the first 4 weeks, the Gophers trying to prove everybody that they belonged, and people doubting them because of the weak non-conference schedule, and then people saying, well, let's see now what they have when they go to Michigan State, and then they pound Michigan State, and that flipped everything, right? That flipped all the narrative. The narrative went from, oh, let's see how they do, to, oh, man, they crush Michigan State. This team can win the West. This team's ranked. This team's undefeated. This team could go undefeated. I saw people suggesting that, which is, to me, a ridiculous notion. They're a good team, but people have to understand, and I think they have to learn that, the Big Ten is West. Everyone thinks it's terrible. It's a hard thing to go through undefeated. No one has done that in recent years. The Big Ten West division champion has not been undefeated. This is not a situation of Ohio State, where they're just better than everybody, right? You go in, if you're Ohio State, you're going to win every week. You just are. And you know that. And the Big Ten West is not that. It's a battle every week. Teams in the bottom of the Big Ten West have beaten teams in the top of the Big Ten West almost every year. So, all this discussion, rankings and undefeated and, oh, they're going to win the West and to the Big Ten, and it's all deserved. They got it all. They earned all that. But it changed the whole complexion. So now we see how the narrative this week is, ooh, Purdue's now the front runner. Oh, look at Illinois. They hammered Wisconsin at Madison. Now, Illinois's got a chance to win this thing. So now we see how other teams might handle that situation when maybe they weren't expected to. So that's the beauty of college football, and it should be a fun final 8-week stretch here.
Voice of Golden Gopher football, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. Again, Purdue wins 20-10. It might be a ridiculous statement, but if the Gophers would win out and win the Big Ten championship game, they could still be in the college football playoffs. So Gopher fans, hang in there.
No question.
Hang in there. Now, I got to ask you brought up Wisconsin getting beat by Illinois, and I can't think of his name offhand. Was that a surprise to you that Wisconsin fired their head coach after how much success he's had pretty much year after year?
Yeah, very much. I was very surprised. Paul Christ is the guy you're talking about. And, he had he has won, I think, three division titles. He's been to two New Year's Six bowl games. But they just felt like things were sliding away. And, to have Brett Bielema come in and really put a pounding on them, I think, created a lot of angst. I know that as the old saying goes, the fans are getting restless. I knew that the 100% fans were getting restless, but I had no vision or no idea that they would pull the trigger on that. Particularly, I think it's like a $14 million buyout. So,
So
right now between Wisconsin and Nebraska, I think those two schools now have combined in the last 3 weeks to pay their coaches to walk away and not coach their school anymore, a combined $30 million or so, right in that ballpark. So, it's honestly stuff, we've talked about this many times. You got me going on a tangent here, but on the side beat, we've talked many times, and my philosophy has changed over the years in recent years when talking about whether players should get paid or not. And I've always thought, you know, they're getting scholarships, and I'm around it enough to know they're getting other really nice perks in terms of, you know, great travel, great facilities, great help in the classroom that if any average student wanted, it would cost them thousands of dollars a year. That said, when you start seeing schools spend $15 million to tell coaches they're not going to coach that place anymore, you can't tell me there's not money around, right, to be able to divvy up to the players in some way, shape, or form. I'm not talking like $1 million a guy, but something. And they're getting now with the NIL and stuff, but the schools obviously have money. If you're just going to, you know, if Wisconsin's going to pay a guy who won three division titles for him, you know, almost $15, $16 million not to coach, then I don't think we have to worry about athletic budgets and, oh, are they going to, you know, make it? So anyway, the point being, I was surprised and really surprised when I saw the contract number that's how much they had to do it, given the guys had that much success. They have slipped away. They have not been ranked at the end of the year, I think, in three of the last 4 years, and that's not been the norm for them. So I get it. And then I think it was exasperated by the fact that Bielema beat them so bad, the old coach in Madison, and it got ugly late. It was a close game going into the fourth quarter, and then Illinois just pounded them in that fourth quarter, and that was a demoralizing thing, and it led to what you mentioned. The guy got fired, and Jim Leonard will be their interim head coach, and we'll see where that goes.
Now, Mike, you bring up a good point, and I know the athletic budget is different from those that are there, just your normal students getting their education. I never like hearing those numbers because we know that college tuition keeps going up year after year. College tuition's been a big talking point, especially here in the last 6 months. When you have $14 to $16 million to tell a coach to go away, I go, you know what you could do with that $14 million? That $16 million on the other side? And I know it's separate. I'm sure it's separate, the athletic budget and when it comes to education. But so many students that you could help go to school, afford school with that money, it does irritate me every time I hear about huge buyouts. Like you mentioned, again, $14 million and Steve Frost, probably $16 million for him. That does frustrate me.
No doubt. Yeah. And I'd even go, it's a little further in that you hear a lot of athletic departments say, oh man, we're going to may have to cut sports or we may have to do this or we got to cut here and there and then this money. Now, a lot of times what happens is the athletic department will borrow that money from the school's general fund and then pay it back interest free. And so there's a little bit of a deal there. But yeah, I mean, there's just let's not cry that you don't have any money. You're openly deciding to pay coaches big money to start with, and then to pay them even bigger money to not coach. It becomes in terms of a perception, the optics of it. And then on top of it, you know, the Big Ten has signed this deal that they're going to get, you know, whatever it is, $1 billion a year. Divvy that up too, so that there's going to be even more money coming in. And now you're going to get me on another side tangent in terms of
that's okay. Go for it.
College, just in terms of college tuition and what students pay as a parent who just had one student graduate from college and another in college. And this is not a slam on any individual school, but it's a slam on the politicians and the business industry who have allowed the banking industry to come in and just have these horrible predatory lending practices that just kill students who graduate with stupid rules that benefit the banks and not the students in terms of when they can pay loans off and the interest rates and when it kicks in and when you can make payments. And it's just a joke. And it's another one of the stupid things in the political system that lobbying allows. But anyway, you got me going, so I thought I'd make a comment.
Anytime you want to go, you can go, my friend. Anytime. Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday. And, Mike, we got to jump across the pond, talk about the Vikings win yesterday, a 28-25 over New Orleans. Red zone offense was not the best. Too many field goals were taken by the Vikings yesterday. But these are games that Minnesota fans are not used to our teams winning. And it's called winning ugly. They won ugly against Detroit. They went ugly yesterday. I think scoring 28 points, and they could have scored a lot more against a very good Saints defense, was kind of impressive. Bottom line is, you took that long flight, you got the victory, you're now 3-1, and I think Vikings fans should rejoice that our team, again, the schedule hasn't been what I would call easy. The Packers defense, the Eagles defense, the Saints defense, all very good defenses, and you're 3-1. We'll take it.
No doubt, and to get the win in London. And now the real question will be what happens now coming back, because the NFL wanted to give the Vikings the bye week this week, remember. That was the original schedule, thinking that the team would want that coming back from it. And then the team requested, no, we want to play. We want a bye week later in the year because we think it times better. And so Chicago comes to our place, I think, this weekend, this coming weekend. Yep. And if the Vikings can win that and they get through this stretch with the trip to London and a bye week still coming up later, it's almost like winning 2.5 games, right? I mean, it really is. So the story, I think, in terms of its completion has not yet been told. We're through maybe, you know, 5 of 6 chapters or what have you. And the sidebar to me that's very interesting is how this weekend goes against the Bears. That's a game, obviously, the Vikings will be favored in. They're going to want to win. But we don't know, you know, all this travel and all this jet lag, and I know people don't like to hear it, but look, the human body, the science tells us the human body handles travel in various ways, and we'll see how it works. Did they need a bye week? Who knows? And if they end up winning that game and then get that bye week later, man, that's like almost winning an extra half a game, even though it won't show up on the record. So you're right. Nice win. You take it. And you had to win it, really. New Orleans did not have its starting quarterback. They did not have one of the best running backs in the league playing. One of their top receivers was out. I think they were missing a left tackle or one of their tackles. So that had been a bad loss, frankly. And they almost did lose it, like you said. But good teams will figure out ways to do it. And they had to survive a double doink field goal on top of it all that, you know, was literally inches away. Two different occasions from being a good field goal to send to overtime. So a lot of drama for sure. But the bottom line, as you mentioned, is they got the win, and now you move on. Obviously, you get home first, and then you move on.
I love that Adam Thielen last week said one of the things he loves about playing over in England is that they love the kicking game. They go crazy for the kicking game because, obviously, they're big soccer fans. They must have loved that game yesterday. I mean, that was the best game. That's the best game they could see,
for sure. And then to see the upright and the crossbar get hit on the what would have been the overtime inducing kick. They had to also, if they weren't fully knowing what football was about, they had to be wondering what the heck was that kick all about, because you don't see that every day for sure.
So the Minnesota News Network didn't have it in their budget to fly you over Saturday night, get you over across the pond.
I don't know if I could have made it in time, because I do have this commitment to the Gopher football team, and so that got done around 3. I suppose if we had does the Concorde still fly? We could have done the Concorde. Yeah, I bet the Minnesota News. I would have loved to have turned that budget request into the boss and say, hey, I need the Concorde, fly over to London to cover the team. No, I did not get a chance to watch it because I had some other commitments yesterday morning. I was in the car and I listened to all the game, and it was an entertaining listen for sure. But it was quite a game, that's for sure. And it was kind of weird listening to it all the way through, and then it got done, and then my mind felt like it should be 6 o'clock at night, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like 11:30. I'm like, geez, I had all day to do nothing here. This is great, you know.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher Sports, sports director, Minnesota News Network. Again, the Gophers get beat 20-10 by Purdue. Vikings beat New Orleans 28-25. Mike, enjoy the bye week. Enjoy your weekend away from doing football, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Aaron. Thank you. Always enjoy it.